Our scripture comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, and the text really gives us guidance for today. I'll be reading from the version I'll be reading from is the PPV, my favorite one, which is the Pastor Paul version. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When Jesus comes in glory and all the angels with Jesus and will sit on the throne, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I tell you, as you did it to one of these, the least of these who are my members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at the left hand, "Depart from me, for I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you didn't give me any clothing. Sick, prisoned, you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be able to share what we need to share in our words and in our deeds. Amen. Well, it's after Thanksgiving. It's after Thanksgiving, but it's not Advent. So it's too early to talk about the coming, the preparing of the Christ child. Too early to talk about wise guys who are following a star, or how Mary and Joseph had to become refugees, flee for their very life while innocent children were being slaughtered. So what are we to do with such a conundrum? Well, in the liturgical church, it's officially called the Reign of Christ Sunday. Sounds impressive. It does. But for us, it's also our Stewardship Commitment Sunday. We're asking folks to turn in a pledge card if they have not done so already. And while a year's worth of sermons on stewardship would be incomplete to explain God's calling for us, today this text and our stewardship theme, The Way to Generosity, I want to bring us back to our calling, our core. Social justice, kind-hearted grace-giving, and providing an extravagant welcome. That's our DNA. I see God's justice just woven throughout our life together at the Palms. Clergy come and say, "I hear all the good things that are happening at the Palms. How is that happening?" And I say, God is moving in a dynamic way, and we're trying to adjust our sails to take advantage of that. I've seen it in our fight for marriage equality and honoring same-gender marriages and relationships as we do those of different gender relationships. I see it in a rainbow flag that proclaims God's love for all. Let me briefly share a couple of ministries that we are sponsoring, that we support, and that shows the premise that social justice is at our core. I see it in our work with the Heart Pantry. Heart, H-A-R-T, we had it spelled last week for us, helps at-risk teens in our Northwest Valley. Our mission and outreach board is doing exciting ministry with them. Our own Jan Eckstein is on their board. You know about their requests for hoodies and socks and gift cards. Many of you have responded already. Last year, we gave every one of the kids who graduated from that program or got their GED gift cards as a congratulations. Plus, we help pay for their rent so they can have space to do their ministry. Giving a people a hand up when our society is trying to step on them. That's what our text talks about, and that's what we're all about here at the Church of the Palms. Our ministry also with New Life is important. They provide shelter, counseling, and other services to assist victims of domestic violence and their families build a sustainable, violent-free life. It's one of the most important ministries we do. Our mission and outreach board is sponsoring a baby shower in December, like we did last year. You're going to be given a list of how we can help families and babies be safe and have the supplies they need. So just think of it. You're with your significant other. You're at the grocery store checking out. The clerk sees a great big package of baby diapers. They ask, oh, is it for your grandkids or great-grandkids? And you say, no, it's for us. And then just let them wander. When you count our financial giving to our denomination, our giving to local charities, our special offerings, this congregation gives over $50,000 a year. And that doesn't include the value of things like diapers and canned goods and socks and all the clothing and other stuff we bring. If you add all those items up, it's well over $60,000 to local and world charities. And when people are asking me all these things, I heard you had 47 people join this year. Yeah, that's right. That's part of the good news. The other part is what we're doing in this community. One of my first answers is always about outreach. Thursday, we had about 200 people eat here. And we had groups of people who volunteered to help. Why? Because they heard on the street that we were helping people on that day and feeding people, and they wanted to be a part of it. God's justice is about helping people who are powerless. Howard Thurman was a prominent African-American author, theologian, educator, civil rights leader. He wrote a poem entitled, "I Will Light Candles This Christmas." It was later turned into a hymn, one that we will sing at the end of this service, and we will sing it as much as any song throughout the year because it captures the church's mission. His poem reads, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart." That's why I say, when I'm describing this place, we're the opposite of Vegas, because what goes on here in this very room doesn't stay here. It goes out with you and me. God's grace. I want to talk a little bit about God's grace. It's large enough, abundant enough to reach around the world and embrace everyone. Wait, everyone? What about those people? Yes, they're included in God's grace. Oh, but how about, well, yeah, them too. God's grace embraces the peacemakers, like those worshiping in Egypt, and those who sow chaos, the victim and the perpetrator. And God's grace is large enough even for you and me. And while God's grace is more abundant and bigger than you and I can ever imagine, I want to share some quick glimpses of how God's grace has touched me over the years, because God's grace is small enough to reach the cracks, the crevices of the moments you and I live every day. Ever have one of those days when everything seemed to be going wrong? Where no matter what you did, it was a disaster? And you were afraid to say, "Can anything else go wrong?" Because it would. A couple years ago, Wendy and I, each in our own way, were having very hard days that turned into very difficult days. One was when my mom was in an auto accident. We were grateful that she was okay and everyone else was okay, but we spent the day dealing with hospital issues and dealing with that situation. And I'm just grateful that Wendy and I at the time worked for places that we could literally drop what we were doing and attend to family needs. The grace shown by our employers was amazing. It was a Monday, and it happened that it was just a very, very long day. And when Wendy and I finally arrived home at night, after that exhausting day, the house phone rang. We didn't have an answering machine, so it needed to be answered because, well, you know, it could have been an emergency at the church or someone else in the family. And each of us gave each other that look, that, "Are you getting it? Please, dear God, you get it, please." She won, I lost. I had to answer the phone. And the caller ID gave us an out-of-state number, but, you know, with so many people keeping their cell phones today, it's not uncommon for out-of-state area codes to show up. But it also could be a solicitor, and I just did not have the patience for that. It turned out to be a former parishioner of mine from 20 years earlier. Hadn't spoken to him in over two decades. He was in his 90s. He was looking through a directory, an old church directory, and he saw our names. And so he decided he was going to call us. Now, we had moved so many times, he didn't have our number. But he knew someone must. So he started calling people in the congregation until he found someone who had our up-to-date number. And he called. And he went on to say the nicest things and talk about what a difference we had made in his life. And don't you know I needed to hear some kind words that day? Yeah, a small act of kindness. Oh, but abundant, grace-filled impact. That's what the church is all about. It doesn't stop within these four walls, this building. It reaches out across different ages and cultures, across the decades, across the miles. And that pebble hitting the water of rest has ripples that expand throughout the years. I see God's abundant grace woven throughout our lives here at the church, a harsh word that has been exchanged for a kind one, an act of reconciliation and forgiveness instead of anger and revenge. People actually sitting down and talking and listening to and with each other, listening to learn, rather than listening to argue and refute. God's grace is so big, so abundant, it's enough to cover the tough stuff, but also the small things, the little things that just push our buttons. And finally, the third thing I want to talk about today is God's extravagant welcome. It means more than just those who are in the LGBTQ community. They're included, but it also means anyone and everyone who has ever felt like an outsider. Because I'm willing to bet at some point in your life, you felt like an outsider. Here's a brief story about the reign of God, seen in extravagant welcome. There once was a young man. He was the drum major of the high school band. Now you can imagine, he was in the cool group. Everyone liked him. Everybody wanted to cozy up to the power. Well, there was another young person in that band who had the courage to come out and say, "I'm gay." To that band's credit, in a theologically conservative community, for the most part, they supported that courageous kid. While hanging out in the lunchroom or in the band room, they included the gay kid in their group. Good for them. But the band was a good band, and good bands travel nationally and internationally. That year, they were going across country to compete in a national band competition. Traveling meant hotels. When it came to travel overnight, room assignments needed to be made. The drum major was in the power seat. Everybody wanted to room with him, to be seen with the cool kid, to be with the big man on campus. Not everybody wanted to room with someone who was gay. More to the point, not every parent was okay with their kid being in the same room with a gay young man. Hanging around the cafeteria, oh, that's cool. In the band room, that's fine. They were tolerating him, but not on a trip. The topic came up in a casual conversation while he and his father were watching football. "So who you rooming with?" the dad asked. He hesitated and mumbled like teenagers do when they don't want to tell you something. That The father asked more firmly. It wasn't his first rodeo. "Who are you rooming with?" He quietly said, "Well, no one wanted to room with," and he named the kid who was gay. "So I think I'm going to sign up with him." And after a long pause, I simply said, "Okay." Because that's what God's extravagant welcome is all about. It reaches beyond our particular culture, our particular faith, with a welcome that is genuine and heartfelt. Because the UCC helped teach him about God's inclusiveness, he was able to put that into practice beyond the walls of the church. Because what goes on here, God's message of justice, of grace, of welcome, doesn't stay here. It doesn't live here only. It goes wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we are. And that's a powerful thing for this community, my friends. Word of mouth is traveling about what God is doing here. And finally, some may say, "I thought you were going to give a sermon on stewardship." Well, Wendy and I, we tithe here because we know our family will get and receive so much. All three of our children can and did learn to live God's justice, to be kind grace givers, and provide an extravagant welcome at a UCC church. They learned that, and we learned that. And that blessing, and for that blessing to be truly a blessing, it's got to be shared. That's what stewardship is all about. Sharing our gifts, our blessings, and realizing we probably got more to give than even we can imagine. Thanks be to God. Amen.